Now, if you were at our prayer meeting on Tuesday night, Mr. McKee referred to some of these verses, and my heart began to sink because I thought, oh, is he going to say something which I'm hoping to say on the Lord's Day? But the Lord had written this word upon my heart, as I am very glad to be back in our own congregation here to bring God's word. And we're going to commence reading at verse number 1 of John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." Amen. We will end our reading there at verse number 7. And we trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. If we could bow for a moment's prayer before we come to consider God's word this morning. Let us all pray, please. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the privilege again to draw nigh into thy holy and sacred presence. We thank you for the freedom we have to meet like this. We thank you for the open door for the preaching of thy word. And O our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would close us in now with thyself. We do ask and pray that every distracting thought would be taken away from our minds, whether we are in this building or whether we are watching in from somewhere else this morning. We do ask and pray that everything that would be said would go down to the glory and honour of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him who loved us and gave himself for us. I ask and pray, O God, that thou wouldst give help to hear and help to preacher. O God, I pray for that fresh infilling of the Spirit of Almighty God to fill me to the very uttermost, to give me power and to give me liberty and unction and clarity as we would seek to bring thy word this morning. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious and all worthy name. Amen. Amen. Over the past number of months, some of our congregation have been called home by the Lord. Their race has been run and finished. Others have been suffering with poor physical and perhaps some struggling with poor mental health over these past number of months. There have been days in which not one of us would have seen coming a year and a half ago. And the Lord Jesus Christ here in John's Gospel chapter 14, he is talking to his disciples. And in verse 1 we have read there, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I am well aware that many of God's people today, their hearts are troubled. Just as the hearts of the disciples, as the Lord was speaking to them that day, they were troubled. And the Lord had taken notice of this. This was not something that the Lord was unaware of, but it was something that the Lord knew very much about. Now, why were the disciples troubled? Turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter 13. Just turn over a page or two to John 13. And the Lord Jesus Christ says there in verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is he. He it is who to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And he gave it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So there we have read that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the disciples and told them clearly that there was going to be one of them who was going to betray him. Now, if we were to read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 26, we would read that the disciples among themselves started to ask the Lord personally, Lord, is it I? But in this record here, it is John who asks, Is it I? This had troubled the disciples, that the Lord would say something so strange to them. They would not have expected, but yet it was something which was true, something which was going to come to pass, and something which caused the disciples to be troubled. That word, troubled, has a thought of doubting or to be perplexed. And here in John's account, he is asked, is it I? And something which had really troubled the disciples. And then we read there in verse 37 to 38 of John chapter 13. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So there was something else for the disciples to hear which would bring them trouble. Not only would one of them betray the Lord, but also another one of them was going to deny him. And just as the disciples were troubled that evening, I believe that many of God's people today are troubled. The Saviour would have us consider these very familiar words afresh, and may the Spirit write them upon each and every one of our hearts. The Lord spoke to his troubled disciples in John chapter 14, and he speaks to them of the believer's eternal destination. And that's what I want to consider with you for a few moments this morning, the believer's eternal destination. Can I draw your thoughts, first of all, to the personal faith to exercise, the personal faith to exercise. In verse number 1 of John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The Saviour was well aware that his disciples, they were troubled. And this is the same word in the original that was used for the trouble that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in chapter 13 and verse 21. It says there that he was troubled in spirit. And here we see that the disciples were troubled. It's very interesting to note that that word also was used for when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and the storms had rose up and the disciples were troubled because of the great storm. And this was something which the disciples were not immune from. And this is something which we as God's people are not immune from. We are not immune from troubles. We are not immune from difficulties and trials and distresses. But yet we have here this morning, brethren and sisters, words to bring comfort to our hearts. And I know these words are very familiar to each and every one of us, I'm sure. But it's good just to take that time and just to think afresh of what the Saviour is saying here. And that the Saviour would write these words upon our hearts. Perhaps if you're troubled this morning, perhaps if you're distressed about something, well, that the Lord would apply these words to your heart this morning, that your heart would not be troubled. J.C. Ryle, the Bishop of Liverpool, many years ago, said of this verse, he said, Even the best of Christians have bitter cups to drink between grace and glory. Even the holiest saints find the world a veil of tears. Isn't that not true? Those who seem the most godliest among us have the most bitter cups to drink. Those who seem to be the most holiest among us find the world to be a veil of tears. There's much to discourage us. There's much to cause us to be distressed. But when we look on the Saviour truly, we know that we are blessed. Yet when these men who were just like us, they were fallen, they were finite, and they were faltering men. Men who knew what it was to be afraid. Men who knew what it was to have times of doubt, times of discouragement when they took their eyes off the Lord. And as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter there at the end of verse number 38 in chapter 13, he then turns his attention onto the whole group of the disciples. And he speaks to each and every one of them that their hearts would not be troubled. Yes, he's speaking to them as a collective group, but he speaks, let not your heart. And I would like that to be applied to your heart as an individual Christian tonight, whether you're a boy or girl, or whether you're a mum or dad or somebody else. But as a Christian this morning, that your heart, let not your heart be troubled this morning, dear child of God. One German theologian lists seven things to comfort us in this chapter. And I trust that when you get home later on that you will read this chapter for yourself and you'll be able to pick these out. He says, first of all, heaven is sure for Christians. That's from verses 2 to verses 3. Then he says, secondly, Christians have in Christ a certain way to heaven. And that is verses 4 to 11. Thirdly, he says the disciples should not fear that Christ's work will cease at his departure, for he was going to send the Spirit, and that's from verses 12 to 14. And then fourthly, he says, in Christ's absence there will be the Spirit's assistance, verses 15 to 17. Fifthly, there was the fact that Christ will come back for his people, verses 18 to 24. Then sixthly, there was the disciples, they will be taught by the Spirit, verses 25 to 26. And then seventhly, there is the legacy of peace that will be left to cheer them in their master's absence, verse number 27. Now these words he speaks here, ye believe in God, believe also in me, they have generated some discussion among Bible scholars. Now some believe that the first word believe is a statement, that Christ is making a statement, and that the latter, or the second word, believe, is a command. Now, some others would take it that both of those words, believe, are a command. But yet, in our English rendering of it here, ye believe in God, believe also in me. I believe that is a very good and clear translation of what the Saviour is saying here. Because these men were Jewish by birth. These disciples, they were Jews. And they would obviously have believed in God. But perhaps they had not fully or trusted or believed in him. And that's why he says, ye believe in God, so also believe in me. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, he reveals the Father. And we see something here of the Trinity. That yes, God is three persons in one. But each person is distinct. They're not separate. They're not three separate gods. But they are three distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making this distinction here, that just as the disciples believed in God, the Father, so ought they also to believe in him. And if there's anybody in the meeting today, or you're watching in online, and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, well, I would like you to consider what the Lord is saying here, that you would believe in him as your Saviour. Oh yes, you may have a head knowledge of God. You may know something about God and his word. But unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, you're lost. You're not saved. And that's what I would like for you to think about if you're not saved this morning. That you would believe on him. That you would place your faith and your confidence and your trust in him. Because he is the only way to God. He is the only way to heaven. The disciples believed in God because of not only their Jewish background, they knew God to be the creator. They knew God to be the one who revealed himself unto Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets regarding the Messiah. There was all those Old Testament prophecies that pointed forward to the Messiah. And here the very Messiah, the one who fulfilled all those prophecies, he's standing before them and he tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." They were to fully rely upon him. They were to cast all their care upon him. They were to put all their confidence and their dependence upon him. And dear Christian, this morning, that ought to be where our confidence is this morning. That ought to be where our burdens are laid down at the feet of Christ. For he is the great burden bearer. He is the one who cares for us greater than any other person could care for us. The disciples needed that remedy for the trouble which they were experiencing. And that is the trouble, or that is the remedy for our trouble today, dear Christian. That we would not let our hearts be troubled, but that we would believe on Christ, that we would depend upon Christ, that we would look to Christ, as Paul says to the Hebrews, looking on to Jesus. His gaze was nowhere else. It was not on any other man, but it was on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. One theologian made this comment. He says, "Our Lord here teaches that Jewish faith was somewhat distinct from Christian faith. The Jew, not seeing clearly the Trinity, dwelt chiefly on the unity of God. The Christian intended to see the three persons in the Godhead." And that's how God has revealed himself. That is who God is. He is the triune God of Scripture. That's the God who we love and we worship, and we are here to praise his name this morning. And our blessed Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us on to what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them. We've considered, first of all, the personal faith to exercise. And that is how we are saved. It is by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in a denomination this morning. Our faith is not in our fellow men. But our faith, our confidence, our trust, our hope and assurance is in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. As I heard it described once before, forsaking all, I trust him. Are you trusting him this morning? Is your faith and your confidence and your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? It's good to see the boys and girls in the Lord's house this morning. And boys and girls, is your trust in the Lord this morning? Is he your Savior? I trust and pray that he is. So we've considered the faith that needs to be exercised this morning. But secondly, let us consider the place that is prepared. The place that is prepared. He says in verse 2 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." We see here that this is an actual place. This is a real place that has been prepared by the Saviour. It is not some figment of his imagination. It is not some made-up place. And so often, men can mock and scoff the things of God. But child of God, this morning, heaven is a real place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And while we mourn the passing of those who we love and who tended the house of God here, thank God that they are home in heaven today. They've gone home. And someday we will go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And what a day that will be. And what a better way for the Lord to encourage his disciples, to try to seek to lift them up out of their downcast spirit, to comfort their troubled hearts. He speaks to them of heaven, the Father's house that has been prepared for them. For he says there, "I go to prepare a place for you." And that was for each and every one of them to take to heart. That as believers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a place preserved, or there's a place prepared for them as an individual. And dear Christian, this morning there's a place prepared for you in heaven. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says so. And it is upon the authority of his word this morning that I can say that, because this is what he said to his disciples all those years ago. And it's what he would say to us this morning through his word. And that was a great way to encourage the believers, to point them to a prepared place. Oh yes, we have heard of discouraging things in the announcements this morning, things which we need to pray for and pray against. But yet, dear child of God, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. What a day that will be. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read the verse number 1. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." There we see, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth there, he spoke of heaven as being the building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's a house which will never corrupt. That's a house which will never collapse. That's a house which will never be, which succumb to rot or mold or to collapse. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. It's God's house. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4 and the verse 24, he said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that God is a spirit because Christ clearly taught it, but that a mere building cannot contain God. But yet heaven is the dwelling place of God. Heaven is where the saints, those who have been redeemed with the precious blood of our Saviour, have been taken to be with him for all eternity. And that is God's house. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26, Deuteronomy 26, I want to read one verse there. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 26. Moses speaking here, he says, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land floweth with milk and honey." And just as Moses asked the Lord to look down from his heavenly dwelling place and to bless his people, I pray that the Lord will bless you today. I pray that the Lord will pour out his spirit upon us today here in Macrofelt and those watching in online. For truly we need the blessing of the Lord today. And that was Moses' desire for the people of Israel. And as the Lord had promised to give unto them that land which floweth with milk and honey, so the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to give unto his people that home in heaven, that mansion that's prepared for each and every one of us. And I trust that as the Lord Jesus Christ sought to encourage his people that day, those who walked with him, those who talked with him, those who heard him pray, those who witnessed him carrying out all those many wonderful miracles, but yet even though they were exposed to so many blessings, yet being creatures, being mere mortals, they were troubled. And just as we are prone to trouble, just as we are prone to difficulties and perplexities, things which boggle our minds, things which we cannot fully understand or grasp, yet I pray that this would encourage your heart this morning, dear child of God. That as Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in him, that there is a mansion prepared for you as a Christian in heaven, because the Lord Jesus Christ says so." Notice here, not only is an actual place, but there is assurance here as well. For he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Here the Saviour deals with his disciples gently. He doesn't come down on them like a ton of bricks, rebuking them for having a troubled heart. No, he doesn't. But he comes with all his love and his compassion and his care, for they are his people. And he would come to your heart, dear child of God, if you're struggling or if you're in some place of difficulty, not coming with a rod to beat you, but coming with his word to comfort you, coming with his presence to comfort you as well, and to give you that assurance that what he speaks is the truth, and that you can take him fully at his word. You know, for he says there in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there, as he spoke those words to Thomas, as Thomas asked him that question in verse 5, we know that God the Father is in heaven, and that the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledges that he is the only way. He is the exclusive way to the Father. There's no other way to God today. There's no other way to heaven. It's exclusively through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here not to preach a denomination. We're not here to glory in man, but we're here to glory in Christ. For he has prepared that way for you, dear child of God. And if you're not a child of God this morning, will you not come to him and have that place prepared for you? If you come and trust in him today, he will prepare that place for you and come again. He told him that because it's the truth. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And even, dear child of God, consider that in your own heart and mind. As an individual this morning, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't it wonderful to consider that? That Christ, he is our forerunner, as it tells us in Numbers 10 and 33. If you turn with me there to Numbers 10. Numbers 10 and 33. He says there, and they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. You know, heaven is a resting place for the believer. And just as they departed from coming down from the mount of the Lord that day, and they took their journey, the Lord went before them. And Christ has gone before us into heaven, preparing a way for us. If we were to turn to Hebrews chapter 6, if you would do that please as well. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse number 20. And Paul writing here to the Hebrews, he says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And there we see an Old Testament example and a New Testament example of how the Lord has gone before us. He's gone before us to prepare a place for us. And that's our wonderful hope and assurance this morning, dear child of God. He has entered into heaven as our great high priest through the blood which he shed, and he continually brings that before the Father's face for us as his people, that he has shed his precious blood for us, that his blood has been applied to our hearts and our lives to cleanse away all of our sin and for his unrighteousness to be imputed to us, which enables us to come into his presence. You see, it's all upon the merits of the Lord's sacrifice, upon his precious blood and the righteousness which he has purchased for each and every one of us this morning as Christians, that we can come into his presence, that there's no barriers because the sin barriers have been removed. Where once we were separated from God by our sin, but yet that has been abolished by his precious blood and his righteousness. And in heaven he is our mediator, representing us before the Father's face, interceding for us with those prayers and making our prayers perfect before his Father's face. But not only that, does the high priest in the Old Testament times bore the names of the people upon his breast So the Lord Jesus Christ has his people's names borne upon his heart. Praying for you, dear child of God. Praying for me. Isn't that wonderful to be reminded of? That Christ has prayed for you already this morning. Prayed that your faith would not fail. Prayed that the Lord would strengthen you. Pray that you would keep pressing on, following after him. Lastly, I'd like us to consider the promise given. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we've thought about the faith that needs to be exercised. We've thought about the place that has been prepared. And lastly, let us see this great promise that's given. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And praise the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, just as he said he would. You know, it tells us in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 11, that at his ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back unto glory. And there was two angels, and he said that this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner in which ye have seen him go. And even the Lord Jesus Christ said in Revelation 22 and verse 20, "I will come again." And even though, dear child of God, our world seems to be getting worse and worse, further and further away from God and from his word, yet we know he's coming again. He's coming again for you and for me. And whether death will take us or whether he will come and call us home, we know where we're going. We are assured of that because he has promised it in his word. Because upon the authority of God's word, he has gone to prepare a place. And one day we will go to be with him for all eternity. Just as those whom we miss and we love from our congregation, their seats now are empty, but they've taken up residence in their mansion in heaven. And they've taken their place around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, worshipping him, praising him and thanking him for what he has done for them. And one day we will do the same. I wonder, will you be there, dear friend? Will you be there in heaven singing the praises of the Lamb, singing the song of the redeemed? Or will you be in hell, lamenting how you rejected Christ, lamenting how opportunity came after opportunity, but yet you rejected Christ? Oh, don't be a Christ rejecter today. But come and put your faith and trust in him. Come and turn from your sin and trust in him. And you can have that assurance. You can have that hope of a home in heaven this morning. Because of Christ who promised it. Because of the one who has gone before us. Because of the one who came to bring comfort to the troubled hearts of his dear believers. One day the disciples would see him again. And they were assured of that. See, the Lord had told them that he was going to go away. And later on down in chapter 14, the Lord says that he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his place. And that the Spirit would come and testify of Christ, that the Spirit would come and comfort their hearts. Notice there in verse 16 of John chapter 14, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Just as the Saviour abode with his disciples for that short time on earth. And when he ascended back to glory, the Holy Spirit came to comfort, to abide, to remain with his people until they would be taken home. And just as the Lord has sent his Spirit into our hearts, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father," where we have been adopted as Christians into his family, the Spirit, the great Paraclete, has come and resides in each and every one of our hearts to comfort us, to assure us of these things which the Lord has spoken of in his word, things which we can take to heart, things which we can apply to our hearts and consider in this next week which would lie ahead in the Lord's will. Brethren and sisters, today we are assured of this because of the Lord. And that is, there is no other reason why we can depend upon this but because it's Christ. And because Christ came and did everything that was necessary for us to be saved as Christians. He fulfilled the law. He bore the penalty and the curse. He died in our guilty room instead. And he rose again for our justification. And because he lived and died and rose again, he will come again and take us home to be with him in heaven. So we've considered this morning the believer's eternal destination. And thank God, whenever that day comes, when I will depart from this scene of time, I know where I'm going. Not because of who I am, not because of something I have done, but because of what Christ has done for me. And dear Christian, this morning, that is your assurance. That is your hope as well, because of Christ, because of what he has done for us. And so this morning, as I would close my message, we thought about the personal faith to exercise. Believe in Christ. Take him at his word. Put your faith and confidence in him. Trust in him, all ye people. We've considered the place that is prepared. Heaven, the Father's house. That's where we're going one day. That's what the Lord spoke to his disciples to encourage their hearts. And that's what the Lord would encourage our hearts with this morning. But lastly, the promise that's given. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's our hope, dear Christian, this morning. That's our assurance and that's our joy and satisfaction, that where he is, one day, we will be with him too. May the Lord bless his word to each and every one of our hearts this morning for his own namesake and glory. Thank you sincerely for your attention, and may the Lord bless each and every one of us in these days. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the instruction that it is to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I do pray that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts. Lord, perhaps if there are those believers today and they're troubled, they're discouraged, they're worried, Lord, I pray that these words would come with power and with freshness to their hearts, that they would not let their hearts be troubled. And just as they believe in God, that they would believe and rest in Christ and what he has done. We thank you for our Saviour who has gone before us to prepare a place for each and every one of us that know and love him. And O our Heavenly Father, I do pray that if there be any watching in or in this meeting house today, and they still know not the Lord, I pray that they would come as a sinner to Jesus and trust in him for salvation. O God, we do pray that you would encourage our hearts in these days. And thank you, Lord, that is our great prospect, that one day we will go to be with thee in heaven for all the countless ages of eternity. Comfort those who mourn, strengthen those who are not well. And Lord, may you take each and every one of us on as believers with thyself. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us this day until Jesus calls or comes again. And we ask these things in his precious and peerless name. Amen. Amen.